Roughly Speaking with Dan Rogics is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy Bookshop, your book is waiting.
It's Friday, May 18th, 2018. I'm Dan Rogics of the Baltimore Sun, and this is Roughly Speaking, a podcast general on news, politics, American life and culture, the tragedy of Trump, Baltimore, Maryland, good food, good books, good and bad movies, and lots of other stuff. Today on the show, we're visiting a new cool place in East Baltimore, City Seeds. City Seeds is a commercial kitchen that's part of a nonprofit mission, a social enterprise of Humanum, to train people for jobs in food services. City Seeds is located in a shiny new building off North Wolf Street in Broadway East, a few blocks north of Johns Hopkins Hospital and the sprawling EBDI redevelopment project. The area, with some old and decrepit buildings that were once part of the city's water system, is slated to become a food hub. So far, City Seeds and another Humanum project, School of Food, are the only signs of life here. We're going to get a tour of City Seeds today, meet some of the trainees and the chef who trains them. First, it's our weekly book recommendation from Paula Gallagher. This week, something on the new nonfiction shelf, Broadway, A History of New York City in 13 Miles by Fran Leiden.
The author is an architect, and he has formerly worked on the American Institute of Architects' Guide to New York City. He was one of the co-authors. And this book is a microhistory, and it's one of my favorite ways to approach history, looking at a smaller segment of history and bringing in other larger elements. So he takes the book in 13 segments, of course, to represent the 13 miles that he's talking about. And he takes Broadway from its inception, when it was a muddy cow path in a Dutch colony known as New Amsterdam, unpaved, full of mud and horse manure. And he takes you through the development of Broadway mile by mile. So we learn about fashion and architecture, entertainment and politics. We hear about the dangers of Broadway back in the 1830s when the population was over 300,000. It was four times the size of Baltimore at the time. So it was very crowded. And even at that time, people considered it to be dangerous. But also hogs and trash and sewage. They still, at that time, had not quite figured out fresh water and sewage. You read about the development of electricity and that how that changed Broadway, becoming the Great White Way. You read about the skyscrapers that came up. And, of course, the author being an architect, you hear about the Flatiron Building and the Empire State Building, the Chrysler Building. We hear about the theaters, the stores, and the public common areas, the parks that grow up in around Broadway. This is a book that I like because you can go in and out of it. You can read a few chapters, put it down, and come back to it. It's a sizable book. It's well over 500 pages. But again, it's fascinating to read about what is the center line in the lifeblood of Manhattan. Chock full of facts and personalities, politicians, producers, merchants, entertainers, anecdotes. It's one of these books that I recommend buying or giving as a gift, a book to digest slowly and to enjoy. Again, the book is Broadway, A History of New York City in 13 Miles by Fran Leiden.
Paula Gallagher is a Baltimore County librarian stationed at the Pikesville branch, and she recommends a book roughly every week on Roughly Speaking.
Roughly Speaking with Dan Rogics is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. This month, the Ivy welcomes Michael Downs to celebrate the launch of his book, The Strange and True Tale of Horace Wells, Surgeon Dentist. Downs imagines the mysteries behind the true story of Horace Wells, who first used laughing gas as an anesthetic, reshaping medicine and humanity's relationship with pain. For more information, call 410-377-2966 or go to theivybookshop.com. The Ivy Bookshop, your book is waiting.
Now to City Seeds, a commercial kitchen that does catering and grab-and-go meals for some major institutions and businesses in Baltimore. The idea is to conduct a business, but employ people who face challenges in their lives while training them for careers in kitchens. It's a social enterprise of the Humanum nonprofit, located just up the street at the renovated American Brewery on North Gay. In this new building on Wolf Street, there's a commercial kitchen as well as a demonstration kitchen, part of the other enterprise here, School of Food. Deborah Haust runs City Seeds and School of Food for Humanum.
City Seeds is a food business that provides catering, wholesale, grab-and-go, and cafe operations to businesses and the general public. We're a nonprofit, and we employ economically rising men and women. So men and women who've been either formerly incarcerated or who've had disabilities, whatever their barrier, they essentially get a second chance with us.
And they're training here?
It's on-the-job training. They get paid from day one, and we do what any other employer does, make sure that their employee is as productive as possible. And we do that through culinary training in the back of house kitchen or front of house hospitality customer service training.
And how long has City Seeds been up and running, actually producing food?
We've been producing food for a year and a bit. We moved into our kitchen this January. And since we've moved into the kitchen, we've been able to scale our operations quickly. Our customers include some of the larger anchor institutions here in Baltimore, like Johns Hopkins University Hospital. So that's really their food service supplier, like Sodexo or Bon Appetit Management Company, as well as corporate, so Exelon, T. Rowe, PNC.
What do they purchase from you?
So the Johns Hopkins, the institutions purchase grab-and-go items, ready-to-eat sandwiches, salads, and wraps. And then the corporates purchase catering, so whether it's a lunch for 10 or an entire conference, breakfast, lunch, snacks. We also do happy hour, your appetizers and drinks.
So you've been working sales then, getting the word out about City Seeds.
I would say that I'm a salesperson first and a leader of a social enterprise business second.
The other entity here is School of Food. So tell us about that.
School of Food is our second social enterprise. We run cooking classes for the public as well as team building events for our corporate clients. And then we also have an entrepreneurship program, which takes food makers' ideas to operations over a learning curriculum that lasts almost a year. We've been doing that for 3 years.
So if you come here for a class, this is where your class takes place,
it
right
does.
Here.
Yeah, it takes place here. And we teach some really interesting things. So this month we're launching our molecular gastronomy class. We're doing a pop-up with Taharka Brothers on how to make your own ice cream and a Mother's Day champagne brunch. So there's a lot of amazing things we can teach here, and everything's made from scratch or taught from scratch, I should say.
So is the kitchen busy now?
Our production kitchen is quite busy today. I mean, we're putting out orders. Thousands and thousands of items will be leaving our kitchen before noon for grab and go. A lot of them left at 7 a.m. for the universities. And then catering, we have a lot of orders going out for lunchtime today.
So right now it's 9:40 or so. So you want to take us in there, see what's going on?
Okay, we're entering the production kitchen.
And it's 9:45 a.m., so what's happening?
So why don't we ask? Do you want to ask?
Yeah,
okay.
Let's ask somebody.
Hi, this is Love Tea. This
Love
is
Tea, how are you? I'm Dan Rodericks from The Sun. And those are carrots and celery.
Yeah, and cucumber.
And cucumber. What are you gonna do with those?
I'm making crudité.
Crudité.
With hummus, celery, carrots, cucumbers.
Do we know where the crudité is going today? Do we know where the crudité is going today? So you don't necessarily know where it's going.
No.
Right.
Not yet.
That doesn't matter. You know that the customer wants...
Canon Design.
Canon Design. Sounds like a private company that's having a catered lunch.
It's a design firm that we're doing a bunch of catering orders for today.
This is actually lovely that you... I'm sorry, but it's the prosciutto caught my eye. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Would you like some?
No, it's okay.
Sure?
What? Oh, you're the chef.
I am the chef. Yeah.
Oh, you work for him?
Yes.
Oh. What's your name?
Aharon Denrich.
Aharon Denrich. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Dan.
So that's a beautiful looking display of some charcuterie and some olives.
Pickles, olives, whole grain mustard. We have four different types of meats here. Prosciutto, mortadella, Genoa salami, and hot capicola. We're also going to put on some local cheeses, brie, some stuff from Firefly Farms, smoked Gouda, Swiss, and a black and blue cheese. It's kind of sweet, kind of savory and stinky. It's pretty good.
Lovely. I can smell it.
Yeah.
So do you have confidence that presentation is going to arrive like that?
After, yes. Well, luckily this is for here. Later today, we have a group of investors coming to help us along with our endeavor. And this is for our Board of Trustees, which is just right at the Old American Brewery. So luckily, it's only going maybe a mile. But typically when we send items, they're sent on the trays with the lid, so that way they stay pretty well together and they arrive just as they leave here.
So this time of day, mid-morning, is you're preparing for the catered lunches, is that it, or later in the day?
We have food for about 200 to 400 people going out right now. That's just for lunch today. Then later this evening, we have food for another 25 to 50 people going out.
Different parties?
Totally different parties, totally different places, totally different areas of the city. We go all over, we go all the way up to Owings Mills. We were doing Joppa last weekend, and we're all over the place.
You guys must be working pretty hard at marketing this.
Yeah, we're doing our best too. A lot of it's guerrilla marketing, I guess. You know, kind of like grassroots stuff, word of mouth, which is awesome. We try to do as much as we can to get our name out there.
Now, earlier in the day, the grab and go lunches went out already.
Yeah, most of our.
What time did your crew start for that?
Well, we start them the day before, finish them today, and they go out by 6:45. I'm usually here by 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning to make sure that that happens. Yeah.
It's a long day.
Long day.
And how many workers do you have now?
Right now, we have about 10, including the rest of our staff, that does, whether it's utility or cleanup or drivers or, you know, That's our staff right now.
And you're training as well as chefing.
We're training for careers, you know, for life-changing, you know. What we do is we're taking a lot of people who have hit roadblocks in their lives, whether they have developmental disabilities or they're recently released from incarceration, and we try to get them a new career and a career path for a life change, you know, and that's... I mean, that's why we're here, you know. That's like our main purpose, you know. It's great.
What were you doing before this job?
I was out of work for about 2 months. Before that, I owned my own business out in Owings Mills, small gourmet to go catering business. We did similar stuff that we do here, but when I was there, I had a program that helped people with autism get a career path. So I work
in food service.
Yeah, in food service. So I work with the Harbor School, Kennedy Krieger, the League, the Abilities Network, and over 10 years we had about eight guys come through our cafe.
So this opportunity must have really excited you. It's another job, but also a social enterprise.
Believe it or not, what kind of drew me to this is okay. Whenever someone asks you, what are you most proud of in your chefing career? A lot of chefs will say, oh, well, I once did a party for like this celebrity or this president, or, you know, I did it for like 5,000 people, or, you know.
Or I won a medal from the chef de cuisine.
Right, you know, right, or the Bocuse d'Or, you know. Yeah. But for me, it's being able to take someone who, you know, doesn't really have something in their life and giving them that passion and giving them a focus for whatever they can do, and then going on, me giving them the basics and then going on from there and doing better than they were, you know, with me. Oh yeah, her too. She Lefty's one of she came in.
Lefty, what were you doing before? Oh, you didn't tell me about the asparagus spears.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so that, and the crudité includes asparagus.
Wow. Yes.
Did you cook the asparagus or?
No, it's raw asparagus.
Oh, that's raw. That's right. That's crudité asparagus. Crudité. But anyway, what were you doing before you came into City Seeds?
Before City Seeds, I was working in my kitchen. It's a lounge, and it was like a carry-out type of setting. Mm-hmm. So it was different from, it was more fast-paced. We're doing like soul food and stuff like that. So here, it's different. It's crudité and, you know, and stuff like that. So it just taught me like different ways of cooking.
Oh, I see. So you wanted to expand what you know.
Exactly. Like I was doing soul food. Now I know how to cook for like vegan, you know, vegetarians and stuff like that. So it just changed my whole cooking style.
So what are you thinking? You'll get some training here and experience and then what?
And then branch off hopefully to something, you know, better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe do some catering yourself?
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah, it's exciting. Who's that across from us working on the green and red peppers?
That is Kingsley. Kingsley came to us. He was out of work. Also, he was working for Ramada, I think.
How's he doing?
Great. He does great. Came in. He does our salads and does our soup program and get rave reviews for it. He has about 20 years of experience in, and he's ready to move on to his next position, either as a sous chef or as a executive chef. And it's...
You think he can do that soon?
He already has.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he can definitely move on to that.
He's worked as a sous chef for you?
No, he hasn't worked as a sous chef for me. We're at the point where we can't, I can't offer him any more than he already knows. So it's time for him to move on. You
know? Excuse me.
Oh, sure.
I want you to know. Oh, the cookies are going in the oven?
Oh, yeah. We do all of our...
These, I heard about 300 cookies for Micah?
More than that.
More than that. More than that. How many? How many would you say a day?
We usually do about 400 a day, or 400 3 days a week.
Right.
So we're doing about 1,200 cookies a week.
I'm sorry, Dan Rodericks from The Sun.
How you feeling?
What's your name? I'm feeling good. What's your name?
James.
James, what's your last name?
St. John.
So James... Oh, these are your cookies.
Yeah.
What are these?
These right now are the white chocolate cherries that I put together and some cinnamon pecans.
Did you say white chocolate and cherry?
Yep. I'm making them for you right now as we speak.
This sounds really good. So what's going on in the oven?
Right now, that's what I'm trying to figure out, but you was just talking to the chef, so I had to give him some time to try to figure out what's in my oven so I can get it out of there.
The oven's being used for something else?
Right. I don't know what's in there.
Hey,
right
chef,
now.
We need to... What's going on with the oven over here, chef? Excuse me, chef.
James,
the cookie.
James
wants to know what you're using the oven for because his cookies need to go in.
He knows what they're for. They're for the 200 people we're getting ready to feed.
It went off.
There's still 5 more minutes.
No. You still have 5 more minutes. It goes out at 10:15.
I was just making sure because it was two different times.
No. Because one's for the chicken, the other one's for the veg and the mashed. If you want to throw cookies in, you can throw cookies in. You have space in there.
You have space for the cookies.
I do got space in there. I'm just making sure it didn't get pulled because the lawn went off.
All right, so there's chicken and vegetables.
Okay, so we have our menu for the Annie and Casey Foundation. We do hot food for them 3 days a week. We feed 212 people those three hot food days. Go to their two separate locations, 701 St. Paul and 503 North Charles. So today 701 is getting our jerk roasted chicken with seasonal roasted vegetables and beans and rice, as well as jerk tofu for the vegetarians. And then 503 is getting the build your own sandwich displays.
What is that?
So what we do is we make, we either slice a bunch of deli meat. It's like making deli trays.
Oh, okay.
And just setting everything.
It's named after Bill Jones?
No, build your own.
Oh, I thought you said Bill Jones.
I mumble.
I was going to say you had a plate of food dedicated to somebody.
Correct.
Who,
well, no.
You know, our founder, Bill Jones.
Yeah. No, it's build your own.
Build your own. Oh, build your own. I have an issue.
I'm sorry, I got headphones on.
That's okay.
I'm supposed to be able to hear everything. One more. I don't want to keep you because what was the question? Oh, supply of produce. So are you making a special effort for local food,
yes.
Local produce?
We do our best to buy local produce. We deal with Keeney and Coastal. And what they do is they buy from local farms and then we buy from them. So that way, anything that's in season and that is locally produced, we have in our kitchen. Whether it's celery, cauliflower, our greens.
Are you getting it now?
Yeah, we get it now.
Sometimes
of the year are better than others. Right now, or over the winter, what we're mostly getting was like kale and potatoes and onions, stuff like that. But right now, we're getting ready to get into the season where produce is getting really good. So we're getting celery, we're getting broccoli, we're getting local asparagus, our local mesclun greens.
Garden.
Yep.
Did you see it?
Wait a minute, Deborah is speaking now.
Yeah.
What are you going to have?
our own garden.
I saw the raised beds outside by the parking lot. Yeah.
We just made them 2 weeks ago, so we're going to be...
It was last week.
No, it was 2 weeks ago.
Was it?
Yeah. Time flies when you're in the kitchen.
Hey, thank you for accommodating me. It was nice to meet you, too.
You too,
no, it's okay.
Definitely.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chef. Yeah. Good luck to you. Yeah. Nice to meet you both. Yeah, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. All right. They're the baguettes. Okay.
...65% of our employees have a barrier to entry versus otherwise. So what you'll find in the kitchen is the majority of our staff in the kitchen have a barrier to entry. But there are a few that don't. Kingsley would be one of them.
Right.
And what we're learning is at the beginning when we first started, we needed our management team to be really strong and really experienced to help us build that proper training. But as our team starts to grow up, we are able to fill in some of these management supervisory roles with individuals who've come to us at the very entry low-level position, including utility working. They move.
Is that a hope, or is that something that's happened already?
That's something that's happening.
Great.
Yeah, not a hope at all. I mean, James, who you talked to, he started off washing dishes, and he's already moved into the kitchen. He's working on a full baking program. He's learning recipe costing. I mean, the next level for him is a cook. And then after the cook, that's a supervisor position. And then we move, it's like a cook two, we call it. And then we go into a sous chef role. What we're doing is incredible because the hospitality sector here in Baltimore City is one of the only growing sectors. So we're trying to create a huge pool of incredible candidates who can really keep growing this space.
And speaking of growing, what's the plan outside here for these great old buildings that the city owned?
Okay, so
they were involved with the city's water pumping system at one point, I think.
You're right. So this is a 5-acre parcel. We are considered the anchor tenant at this point. But we're struggling to find the right tenants who will be able to move in and pay rent to be part of this development process.
Deborah House is a vice president with the Humanum nonprofit in East Baltimore. She's in charge of the culinary social enterprises, City Seeds, and School of Food. Visit the School of Food website to learn about the cooking classes and other events being offered here on Wolf Street. And as for the other buildings on this campus at Wolf and Gay, the American Communities Trust bought the buildings in 2014, and that organization is still looking for tenants. That's our show for Friday and the weekend. Your thoughts are welcome by email, Twitter, or on Facebook. Please tell your friends about the podcast if you get a chance. And review our show on iTunes or your Apple Podcast app, or for Android users on Stitcher. For producers Steve Early and Quinn Kelly in the Baltimore Sun Newsroom, I'm Dan Rodericks. Thanks for listening to Roughly Speaking, and we'll see you again soon.
Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy Bookshop, your book is waiting.